So our text for this Christmas day is the first verse of John chapter 1, these words, in the beginning. In the beginning, so our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, on this Christmas day, we once again are confronted with the birth of God. The birth of the one who was, as from the beginning, with God, through whom all things that we know were created. Talking about Jesus, of course, the Word made flesh, the term Word here referring to the very Son of God, the Word, the One, the Son of God, through whom very creation itself came to be. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We read in Genesis 1, the very first chapter of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. So Genesis chapter 1. But then the Gospel of John, the true light that enlightens every man, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world knew him not. You see, back when God first created the world, when the Father created the world through the Son with the Holy Spirit, there was no one. No human being to hear God speak his word and bring creation into existence. Some 4,000 years later, however, the Holy Spirit coming upon the Virgin Mary, the power of the Most High overshadowing her, the Son of God, Jesus, was conceived. The Son of God would be born into the world, the very world he himself created. The Son of God would be born into the world already populated, already filled with humankind, made in his image, and the image of the Father, and the image of the Holy Spirit. And yet the world did not know him. The world ignored him. The world went on with life, the life he himself had given them. Now, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? It sounds like something we ourselves have experienced. What is that? How could we have experienced such a thing? Well, we experience such a thing every Christmas when our greater families gather together in our homes, and everything is out of kilter, isn't it? That is, relationships are just not right. Those who should be humble, they're arrogant. Those who should be noted are ignored. And a general jostling to and fro for position takes place the entire time the family is together. The reality of existence about how everyone in the family even came to be in the first place, it's completely forgotten. And there's a rush for every single person in the household to define and experience Christmas for themselves. Whether it's by means of a special food, the latest video game, a tradition of some sort, or simply the latest Hallmark movie. You know, a study came out just this last week in which it was concluded that family members at Christmas time can spend just about four hours with each other. That is a little less than 4 hours. I think it was 3 hours and 57 minutes. Before they need a break. They need some room. They need some distance. Why? Why is that so? I'd suggest that in our fallen state, in our weakness, in our defectiveness, which God himself calls sin, we can stand each other for only about 4 hours. because in reality, we really don't know our family members that well. And to be honest, they don't know us. More accurately, it can just be that when we get together, we have a tendency not to allow those around us to be who they are, and they return the favor. They refuse to acknowledge us for what we are. What am I getting at? We have a problem with our own identities, don't we? A problem with our own identities. So what if during our Christmas gatherings at home, what if a man arrived? A man knocked at our door bearing all sorts of luxurious gifts, knowing each and every one of us by name. And as he came into our home, announced that we were in fact royalty. Long lost descendants of a royal house in Europe, replete with titles and lands and honors and glories. And what if it were true? What if it were really true? What if such a man arrived announcing that we were in fact every member of our family, sons and daughters of a king? How would we look at each other then? How would we treat each other? I mean, if each and every one of us was royalty with all the riches and honors and glories of royalty, would we not all simply rejoice and be happy and treat each other as we deserve to be treated, addressing each other with titles which truly were accurate depictions of whom we are? Well, this is what happens for all those who receive Christ in hearts through faith. This is what happens for all those who receive Christ in hearts through faith. For receiving Christ in our hearts, inviting Him into our hearts, welcoming Christ into our hearts, we are welcoming the very Son of God Himself through whom we ourselves were created. And as Christ enters our hearts, He recreates them. He makes them what they once were, resetting them, as we like to say today, so that suddenly in Christ we know who we are. We're royalty. We're sons and daughters of God. But to all who did receive Him, who believe in His name, we read in John 1, He gave the power to become children of God, who are born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. That is, in a normal way, born of God. It's on Christmas Day especially that we should be reminded that just as the power of God overshadowed Mary and the Holy Spirit came upon her, so the same thing happened to us when we were baptized into our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For what happened there, but that as those who by nature do not know God, were washed, we were renewed, we were regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God so that we too would come to the realization that we were sons and daughters of God, made righteous and holy by God Himself, who declares us through faith in His Son to be actually His children. Joy to the world! Joy to the world, we sing today. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. Let every heart prepare Him room. What? We don't have any room for our Creator in our hearts? We're upset with what our mom said to us last night? We're disappointed that our Christmas celebration didn't go exactly as planned. We still don't understand why we're treated like we're 10 years old by our uncle when we're 30 and we're married and have 3 kids. Why is that? Let's go back to the man at the door with the gifts, an announcement of our reality as royalty. If that had happened, if that really had happened last night, would you be stewing about all the things about which you are stewing this morning? Such petty things, such inconsequential things, such meaningless things. Of course not. Of course not. Well, newsflash, that is what happened last night. The announcement that through the birth of the very Creator of the world, God Himself, and our baptisms then into Him, we are in reality sons and daughters of God, entitled to and even having received all the gifts which God wishes to give to us, the chief of which is peace, peace in our hearts. Now, our hearts certainly can't be peaceful if they're full of all of our Christmas grievances. So let's repent of such things. Let us see and acknowledge what they truly are, part of our old life, part of our old creation, part of an existence without the reality of our recreation in Christ. In other words, let's acknowledge such things, let's recognize such things, confess such things as having nothing whatsoever to do with our new creation in Christ, and let's remove them from our heart. Let's get them out of there. Just take them out. But at this point, we can become a little embarrassed, a little sheepish, a little ashamed. That is when we realize truly how petty we can be, how petty we've been. So how can we be at peace when we're ashamed of the way we've acted, the way we've thought of ourselves, and the way we've thought of those around us? Here's where we must realize that the peace that we're given as sons and daughters of God, you know, it's not a simple peace. But a peace established between God and us by the sacrifice of the one born on Christmas, the very Son of God, God Himself. Yes, our peace has been achieved by the sacrifice of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, for us, for each and every one of us on the cross. In other words, the one who would come to our door on Christmas announcing who we truly are, our true reality, the one who would enter our hearts and cause us to look at ourselves and others in a whole new light, is the one who would suffer and die for us. Why? So that our sins of pettiness, our shame, our embarrassment could all be covered with the righteousness of the one who created us, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In other words, that's how far He would go. That's how far our Father in heaven would go. So far the Holy Spirit would go to recreate us, making us once again who we truly are meant to be, causing us once again to realize who we are and to live daily from this moment on in that reality. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the offertory.